Welcome. I was asked to do this care group on parenting in a sport-crazed culture, and I think it's a really relevant topic for any of us that have children that are sports age, and really any of us that have children that they're wondering what to do with them. So I thought I'd start out just by sharing a little bit about me, because I think that's going to help with the other things that I share this morning. As an athlete, I grew up in the state of Delaware, a very small state that really didn't have a lot going on with regards to sports, and soccer was my sport growing up. Like a lot of your children, I started when I was 5 years old in a rec program and moved on to a select soccer club when I was 9 or 10 years old. I enjoyed the sport. I played a lot of other sports as well. I played baseball growing up. We lived, I guess you would consider, out in the country, so I spent a lot of time in the woods building BMX tracks and hiking and shooting bow and arrow out in the field, and kind of a fun childhood. We also sailed a lot. My parents had a sailboat, and we spent a lot of time on the Chesapeake Bay swimming and going out for the weekends on the sailboat. It was a fun childhood growing up. When I was 13, I really began to think soccer was a sport that I wanted to focus on, and tried out for a state team in Delaware and made that, and progressed pretty fast through all the different ranks. There was a program that still is in play called the Olympic Development Program, that I joined the state team and made a regional team, and I just really had a lot of fun playing the sport. I wasn't heavily recruited at all as a high school athlete until my senior year, and it was Thanksgiving of my senior year at a soccer tournament with Region 1 that I started to have coaches begin to call me. And it was also at that time that I had a call from the United States Soccer Federation to come into a pool of players that were to form the next under-20 national team. And it was pretty funny when we got the call at home. We wondered, is this something that you have to pay for? My parents were always really skeptical of paying for add-on things with sports. And we remember calling the U.S. Soccer Federation and asking, is this something that we have to pay for? And they said, no, this is free. And they invited me on a trip to Italy my senior year, expenses paid, free gear, shoes, and it was something that just kind of came out of nowhere. During that time as well, I went on several college visits and was asked to visit the University of South Carolina, which I didn't even know they had a soccer program when they recruited me, and I went down and I was offered a full scholarship to play at South Carolina. And I jumped at that chance. I thought it was a great opportunity for my parents to not have to pay anything for my education. And I accepted that at South Carolina. While at South Carolina, I was part of a pretty successful program there. We lost in the national championships my junior year to University of Virginia. We were ranked number one my senior year. We had a successful time at South Carolina, a very fun time for me to play the sport of soccer. During South Carolina, I played in the under-20 World Cup in Australia. I got to travel the world during that time. Went to 21 different countries, expenses paid by the U.S. Soccer Federation, and really had a chance to see the world. Never a dream of mine to do that, just something that came up with an opportunity, and somehow made the best of that opportunity. My senior year at South Carolina, I played the fall season and then was asked to go into full-time residency with the U.S. Olympic team and made a move to San Diego, spent 10 months in San Diego and D.C. with a pool of about 40 other players. And then in June of 1996 was given a position on the Olympic team, which I had the opportunity to play in 1996 in Atlanta. which was really very exciting for me. Following that, in that year, it was the first year of Major League Soccer, a brand new soccer league in the U.S. Several others had failed in the past, and was drafted in April of that year, but didn't join the crew until after the Olympics in August. So I went from the state of Delaware to the University of South Carolina, and now playing a professional sport, something that I had no dream, no intent of at all, in a state that I had never been to before. So that's my athletic background. As a coach, in 2000, when I retired from South Carolina, I was offered to go back to finish school, and I was given a grad assistant position and spent the year coaching at the university, which was just an incredible opportunity to be part of a coach and a staff that I enjoyed playing for as a player. Coming back, I joined a soccer club called Worthington United, and spent a season with them. During that time, I had another soccer club call that you know, was aligned with my philosophy, which was children to have fun playing the sport, but to continue to play at a high level. So I joined a soccer club called Wausau Eagles, spent 6 years with them. And then at the end of my time with the Wausau Eagles, Worthington United called back again. They had a club that came into the area for about 5 years that was moving to other areas in Columbus, and they restarted this club called Worthington United. So currently I'm directing that club. I coach both my sons. I have a 12-year-old son and a 8-year-old son. I work with their soccer teams and also direct the club, Worthington United. I'm also an educator. I teach physical education. At South Carolina, I taught some classes when I went back to finish my schooling. When I came back to Columbus again after South Carolina, spending that year there, I was a teacher at Xenos Christian Schools. I spent 4 years teaching physical education at Xenos Schools, both at Calumet and the school that they had up in Westerville as well. Went back to school to Ohio State to do a master's in sport and exercise education. And was an incredible year. Got to be a grad assistant again, teaching sports that I had no idea how to play, racquetball, badminton. And I taught a soccer course as well. Following my time at Ohio State, looking for jobs, I graduated in about a year, didn't have a job anywhere, was looking for something to do. Ohio State hired me for a quarter, the fall quarter, to teach in their program. I taught undergrads how to become physical education teachers. I taught a coaching class there as well. And during that time, Worthington Schools contacted me about a job opening, and I took a position in Worthington. I've been teaching physical education there for, I think, 7 or 8 years now. Enjoy the position because I get to teach children about sports and how to live a healthy, active lifestyle. I'm also a dad. I have children that play sports, not just a coach and not just a former athlete, but I'm now involved at making decisions with my children, how they can be active in sports. That's my family on a recent trip to South Carolina. I don't often get dressed up, so it was nice to get dressed up with my family. There's my three, Keegan, Kira, and Ryan. We love to do things other than soccer and run. We love to bike. We love to spend time outside. We love to spend time on the water. And that was a place right on the May River where we went recently for a wedding. My daughter, Kira, had a cross-country meet. She runs for Worthington Kilbourne. She's a freshman there. And it's just been a blast watching her run and enjoy her teammates. Bottom right-hand corner is my son Ryan on his little U9 soccer team in Worthington. And then there's my other son Keegan battling someone on a soccer field in Worthington. My wife was also a college athlete at the University of South Carolina, Tracy. That's where we met She also was a full scholarship athlete at the university. I think both of us had very similar upbringings, that our parents didn't push us into sports in any way at all. They gave us the opportunities to play, and really didn't do much else than that except for ask us if we were trying our best. And we continue to be active. Tracy and I, our bodies are starting to fall apart a little bit. We wish that they felt a little bit better, but we do. We really enjoy playing. So what is sport? And I have a lot of people laugh at me when I ask this question or when I talk to them about it. I took a sport ethics class at Ohio State University, and I have a lot of laughs when people hear that I took that course, but it was the most interesting course that I took at Ohio State. And my sport ethics professor, who's now at the University of Southern California, asked this question to us on the first day: what is sport? And different people answered the question, and he took us to where the word sport was derived from. And the word sport comes from disport, D-I-S-P-O-R-T, and it means a pleasant pastime. It's also amusement or relaxation. To divert, to amuse, to please, to play. And when I think about this definition of sport, I really know that the activity comes from something that we do to get away from our normal life, to divert ourselves from really the tough trials of life, the pressures of life, the stress of life. And it's funny when I think about where our work came from, because I really don't think that's what's happening with our children with sport today. I look at it as sport is life, something I see quite a bit on t-shirts around Columbus. I see a lot of stress that goes on with parents with sports. It's not something that really is diverting them from the trials of life. It's actually creating more trials in their life. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. There are very good things about sport, and that's why I've chosen to have a profession in sports and physical activity. For our body, we get healthier bones if we're active in sport, muscles, joints. It helps control our weight, reduces fat, prevents, delays the development of high blood pressure. Sports are very good for our body. They're also very good for our brain. And there's been research mostly in the last 3 years of how activity can make us more productive in the things that we do. It helps improve academic achievement in our children. It helps our cognitive skills, our attitudes, and our academic behavior. It gives us enhanced concentration, attention, and it even helps kids improve their classroom behavior. Socially, it can positively affect aspects of personal development among young people, their self-esteem, goal setting, and leadership. However, the evidence indicates that the quality of coaching is a key factor in all these things happening socially for us. There's also some bad sides of sports. There's more than 3.5 million children under the age of 14 that receive medical treatment for sports injuries annually. And on a recent study that I read, there's 21 million that are involved in team sports and over 40 million children that are involved in sports in general. So 3.5 million, that's quite a few in the numbers that are participating in sports. Overuse injuries are responsible for nearly half of all sports injuries to middle and high school students. More than half are from overuse. So if we go back to the original definition that it's for play, for amusement, something just quite isn't going right with our involvement. With our brain, there's been so many recent studies about concussions. And this is a pretty old study. Emergency department visits for concussions sustained during organized team sports doubled among 8 to 13-year-olds between 1997 and 2000, and nearly tripled among older youth. And we're like 10 years from now, and it's really only been in the last 2 years that concussion research and the data has come out. There's some major issues going on with our brains with concussions in sports. Socially, at age 9, and this is pretty sobering to read this, when children often develop a concept of whether or not they are an athlete, physical activity rates begin to drop sharply. By age 15, moderate to vigorous physical activity declines 75%. That's a sobering statistic. We're going to watch a clip, and this was done recently in conjunction with ESPN and also a group out of Aspen that does a lot of sports research in general, but also for youth. And I want you to watch this clip, and I really want you to be able to respond after with some things that you think about it. Julie Foudy, who was a World Cup soccer player on the women's side and now an analyst for ESPN, she ran this clip. If you're interested in it, I have on my notes a place where you can go and watch multiple clips on it. And they're very, very interesting because they have former athletes that made it to a very high level that talk about how sports for them really was playing. It wasn't an over-the-top activity that they did.
Welcome to this town hall on kids and sports. I'm Julie Foudy. For me, sports and movement have always been a way of life. From my first memories of playing in the backyard with my siblings and enjoying different sports, to representing my country in World Cups and Olympics. Being active was and still is central to who I am. But it's no longer as simple as picking up a ball and finding a game in your local park. Things have gotten complicated for kids in sports. Escalating costs, pushy parents, and of course, digital distractions. As we look to increase participation for kids in sports, these are some of the issues that are standing in the way.
1, 2, 3. Rockets! On any weekend in America, a visit to most playing fields and gyms looks the same. Kids kicking soccer balls, taking batting practice, and shooting free throws. According to the Sports Fitness Industry Association, of the estimated 51 million children between the ages of 6 and 17, almost 31% participate in team sports regularly or frequently, but 46% don't participate in team sports at all.
The kids going outside today playing by themselves, that's a foreign thing. You tell a kid to go outside, you're like, why? You know, what am I going to do? Well, you know, there's a goal out there. You know, it's a basketball goal. I put up, go out there and play.
We'll stop there. Herschel Walker was on this panel, and for those of you that are old enough, like me, to know who he was, he was a college athlete that grew up at a time, like he was saying, where he just went outside and played. And I used to really enjoy watching him and listening to him because he would talk about what he would do in the off season. He would just go out on his own, and he had this regiment where he would do push-ups and sit-ups, and he would run hills at this park where he lived. He didn't have a personal trainer. He didn't go to an inside turf facility and do his training. He did it on his own. And Herschel Walker is really interesting. He's a big advocate for youth sports now and kids enjoying the sport and learning things on their own. Julie Foudy, the comments that she has on it are exactly the same. She's still very involved in sports, and she really is concerned about some of the things that the youth players are doing and what she's seeing on the soccer fields as well. These clips, if you get the chance, I would take the time to check them out because they're really interesting because they're from athletes that really... We're gonna move on, and I have an article that speaks really well to the tension that you're talking about with just not knowing what to do with your five-year-old who's a pretty good athlete. And this comes from a man, John O'Sullivan, who runs a group called Changing the Game Project. And I'm going to read this. It's a little lengthy. I'm going to read about the first quarter of it. But I think it speaks very well to some of the fears that we have as parents. I'm going to try and read it. My fourth grader tried to play basketball and soccer last year, a mom recently told me as we sat around the dinner table after one of my speaking engagements. It was a nightmare. My son kept getting yelled at by both coaches as we left one game early to race to a game in the other sport. He hated it. I know, said another. My 10-year-old daughter's soccer coach told her she had to pick one sport and start doing additional private training on the side, or he would give away her spot on that team. So goes the all-too-common narrative for American youth these days. An adult-driven, hyper-competitive race to the top in both academics and athletics that serves the needs of the adults, but rarely the kids. As movies such as The Race to Nowhere and recent articles such as the one from the Washington Post point out, while the race has a few winners, the course is littered with the scarred psyches of its participants. We have a generation of children that have been pushed to achieve parental dreams instead of their own and prodded to do more, and better. The pressure and anxiety is stealing one thing our kids will never get back, their childhood. The movie and article mentioned above, as well as the book, The Overachievers, The Secret Lives of Driven Kids, highlight the dangerous path we have led our children down in academics. We are leading them down a similar path in sports as well. The path is a race to nowhere, and it does not produce better athletes. It produces bitter athletes who get hurt, burn out, and quit sports altogether. As I said to my wife recently, the hardest thing about raising two kids these days when it comes to sports is that the vast majority of the parents are leading their kids down the wrong path, but not intentionally or because they want to harm their kids. They love their kids, but the social pressure to follow that path is incredible. Even though my wife and I were collegiate athletes, and I spend every day reading the research and studying the latest science on the subject, the pressure is immense. The social pressure is like having a conversation with a pathological liar. He is so good at lying that even when you know the truth, you start to doubt it. Yet that is the sport path many parents are following. The reason? Fear. Now, John O'Sullivan is someone who researches sports for his job now. He worked with several soccer clubs. He actually moved his family out of a super hyper area of the country with soccer to Bend, Oregon, to just get his children away from the pressures of that. I'm not sure if I necessarily agree with moving away from the pressures, but he has some incredible resources out there that I think speak very honestly and truthfully from someone that played the sport at a very high level. He was a professional soccer player as well, and it looks like from the article, his wife was a college athlete too. So we have to begin to think, like, why? Like, what is going on? If we go back to that original definition where sports, you know, the word originally came from just to get away, to have fun, to divert our attention from life, why is it this super high, stressful, hyper-driven thing that leads kids to burnout and injury and even, you know, some mental things? We have to ask our question why. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say, which is not a lot about sports, but we're going to draw some things out that I think are reasons why sports have gone down a path that may not be so great. And I'm going to share a little bit about my story. Now, I told you I came to Columbus in in 1996, I was drafted here, and that's really the only reason I ended up in Columbus. But I started playing professional soccer. It was somewhat enjoyable. We had some really fun moments playing. It's pretty neat doing something that you enjoy for a job. But with that, there were a lot of stressful times as well. Obviously, if you're a professional athlete, you want to play and you want to contribute. And there were times where I did. I played over 100 games with the Columbus Crew and you know, played in some very important games. But there were also times that I sat on the bench and wasn't able to play. And it was in my second year with the Crew that my wife Tracy and I, we weren't married at the time, you know, started thinking, oh, there's got to be more to life than just, you know, being here in Columbus and being on the soccer team and doing it for my living. And Tracy was kind of coming off the buzz of being a college athlete. And do I continue to run? Do I try and compete at this level? And so we were like, well, maybe we should like check out some churches. Maybe so there's something more to life. And we went to a couple churches that summer, but it wasn't until after a game with the Crew one night at the varsity club that I met someone that began to talk about who Jesus is with me. And you know, it was really interesting. We found a couple that lived in our neighborhood that wasn't part of the soccer group that we hung out with all the time. And that was kind of attractive to us. We loved our friends with the Crew, but we also wanted to have a life outside of soccer here. And so my friend Craig started asking me, like, who do you think Jesus is? And do you think this person could help with some of the struggles that you're having? And my question is, maybe. I'm not really sure who he is. I know he was a good teacher. And so I started investigating who Jesus really is. And I came out to this church, Xenos Christian Fellowship, and heard the Bible taught in a way that was very powerful, that spoke directly to the things that I was struggling with in my life. And it was that fall that I asked God to come into my life, that I knew I had some major flaws in my character that were preventing me from being close to him. And I made that decision to accept him into my heart, to deal with all those issues that I had, and to give me this new life. That's where it started for me, and that's where the most excitement of my life has come since then. You know, the Bible, there's a couple parts in it which I like as an athlete that talk about us being in this race, that we have a time that we're here, kind of like in a game. In a soccer game, we have 90 minutes, and the time that we have here on earth, we're not sure how long it'll be, but we have a limited time here, and God says that we can make a huge impact in other people's lives by the way that we treat them and by the way we interact with them and the things that we share with them. And that's been the most exciting part of my life so far, and I know it's going to continue to be exciting as well. There were three verses that meant a lot to me at the very beginning, and this verse in Revelation 3:20 is the one that really, I think, was the piece of scripture that led me to making the decision for Christ. And it's Christ's words. He says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends." The second verse was who I am once I come to know God, and it's in Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." And then the third verse is I heard early on, but I read this verse every day because I know God wants great things for our life. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." These are the three pieces of scripture that are really the foundation for my life now, and pieces that I go back to really on a regular basis. You know, the Bible also talks about this pull of the world, and I'm pretty sure that's where John O'Sullivan is going with this article. And I don't know if John O'Sullivan, I don't know if he's a Christian, but I think he's able to really describe what sports can do. And in Romans 12:12, Paul is writing this. He says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And this world that he talks about is something described in the Bible. The word, the Greek word is cosmos, and it was a world that, it's a world that is controlled by the adversary to Jesus, which is Satan. And, you know, our adversary, his job is to get us away from God and to put all of our investment here on earth. And I truly believe that's what's happening with sports in our culture today. There's some other athletic references in the Bible. I don't think the Bible truly tells us if sports are okay or if they're not okay. But through these athletic references, I believe it does share that there's some good things that we can learn from sports that can help us with our walk with God. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul again asks the question, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating in the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." I do believe we can learn a lot of self-control and discipline through sports. And I believe that's helped me in my walk with God. Endurance, in Hebrews 12:1, Paul says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Definitely something that I learned through sports, that to keep going, to persevere, to be determined. And it's something that I hope my children learn through sports as well. So I have some questions to think about. What can I do as a parent? It sounds like we have a group of parents here that have their children already involved in sports, that have children on the verge of getting involved in sports. And I believe these are really important things to think about. The first one is, what does it look like if I don't promote any physical activity in my home? And I don't believe this is something that we want to do. I believe that we do want to promote physical activity in our homes. The latest research that I read about screen time is 7.8 hours a day of screen time that our children are spending. And that's 8 hours a day on the screen. You can't be very active if you're spending 8 hours on the screen. And so obesity rates are skyrocketing. Diabetes in children are skyrocketing. Our culture's falling apart because we're spending too much time sitting. Well, if our children do get involved in activity, which I think is very important that they find something that they enjoy doing with their body, we have to count the costs before we get involved. And the costs that I'm talking about are time, money, energy, and even thinking a long view of what I want my child to learn through sports. So time, it can be very time consuming. Very time consuming, from practices during the week to games on the weekends to tournaments that you travel to. It can be very time consuming. So we have to think about that. Where are we going to join? What club are we going to join? What team are we going to join? Is it something that's close by that I can get to quickly? Is it something that takes me 30 minutes to get to and 30 minutes to go home, which is another hour of the night. Something very important to think about. Money. We can be involved in all levels of sport. If we choose a recreation program, which I think is a very good option, we're going to spend $60 to $80 a season. If we choose a select option, we have a pretty big range. We can join a team for $200 a season. We can join a team for $1,500 a season. It's a pretty wide range of what we can spend on sports. We have to think about, does this team travel? We could spend thousands of dollars traveling every year with the team. Those are things to consider, and they're things to be informed about before you make a decision. The energy with it, it's tiring taking our children rush hour to a practice. It's tiring. It's tiring as a parent to do that and then to have a dinner at night. There's a lot of energy spent on it. And then just thinking long view, is this place where my child is playing, is it going to help them with the character traits, self-control, discipline, caring about the people on their team? Is it a place where they can learn these things, or is it a place where none of those things are taught at all and it's cutthroat and it's whoever is the best stays and whoever isn't the best goes? Those are things to count before you make a decision. This is an interesting question. Can my child be active without select sports? Can they be active without any formal sports? Can they try different sports and activities? And my answer is yes. Yes. Sports are cool. Team sports are cool. But you don't have to play them for your child to be active. Your child can be active without any formal sports at all. And I wrote a few down because these are things that I love to do with my children. Hiking, biking, exploring, trying something new on vacation, camping, canoeing, pickup games in your neighborhood, walking to school, biking to school, skiing, snowboarding, sledding, wrestling, not in dad, wrestling with dad. And there's many other things. Our sports seasons all ended last weekend. And so on Sunday, it was a beautiful day. We just decided to go over to High Banks, which is a place that we love to go that we don't go to enough because of sports. And we spent the morning there, and it was incredible. And when we came, we went down by the river and came back through a field, and I stumbled upon this. And this was really neat because I've heard about it, but I've never seen one of them. At High Banks, they have an area where you can just explore, where they have down trees and they have rocks and they have all kinds of different things where you can just build. And I think back, I'm like, man, that's really what I used to do in the woods by my house. But it's not really what children do today. So there are so many things that you can do to be active with your children. Is it a little easier if they're on a team? It might be easier because you know they're going to get that regular activity. There are a lot of really great things that you can learn through sports. But also, you can take your neighborhood family friends with you and do exploring and get activity as well. I'm sure you have many other things as well. And I know a lot of people ask me that question, what if my children aren't involved in sports? And I thought it may be a cool idea to generate a lot of ideas. So I'm going to begin to work on that and get it out to Sherry. Take some time to have a conversation and pray with your family and your friends about sport participation. And I really wish I would have underlined friends, because I think that that's extremely important, that we talk to people outside of our own family about sport participation. And I have to be honest with you, this is something that I know friends are very quiet about. They don't talk a lot about. And I think it's an area, I know it's an area where Satan really messes with us. We think it's an individual decision. The trouble with that, when we know God, is we don't live our lives individually. We live our lives as a body. And so decisions that we make impact others around us with regards to sport. I would take a lot of time to think about that and to talk about it and to be very open with it. because we get deceived really fast. Be careful of saying yes blindly or without thinking through. I know, because I direct a soccer club, the pressures of tryout time. I know them. This was the first year in soccer tryouts that I believe was the most stressful for parents. And what happened was that a decision was made by the governing body in Columbus that teams could offer a spot to a player after any contact with the player at tryouts right away. And this caused a lot of stress for people. I work with a club, I call it kind of a middle-level club where we're not over the top with time, with commitment, with cost, but we do have players that explore those different options. And you know, what I say as a director is explore those options. Like, if you want to do that, that's great. But a lot of those parents came back on the second day and said, we need to know now because we're waiting. We have a decision we have to make within 24 hours with this other club. And it was stressful for parents. So what I say to you is don't say yes to anyone without thoroughly thinking through it, because you're talking about a year which could be very stressful for your family and your child. Proverbs 12:15. Proverbs are great thinking about decisions. I love reading through them. It says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Again, talk about this. I believe it's very important to talk about it. I think you can generate ideas today. You know, I think if you're here, you can talk about ideas with someone that you came with. If you're listening to this on audio, you can start writing down some different ideas that you have and talk about them. Consider that your choices can please God. The choices you make can please God, and that's really cool. I think the first thing that can please Him, if you've never made a decision for Christ in your life, is that you can please Him by starting a relationship with Him. Consider that your child can have a relationship with Him. That's going to please God. As a parent, that's the thing that I want the most for any of my children, that they know Him, that they have a relationship with Him. And talk to God about this part of your family's life. He wants us to talk to Him about all parts of our life. And if we're feeling stress over something that's supposed to give us fun and amusement and a diversion from life, then something just quite isn't right. Talk to Him about that. That's what I have for you today. There are just numerous studies, numerous articles that I can share with you that you can read. It's a hot topic. It's a hot topic in the secular world with parents who don't know what to do anymore. And, you know, it's a hot topic with those that know God and just aren't sure, that have a lot of tension in their lives with this. So I wanted to end with just hearing your comments, to answer any questions that you have. And we could start today by talking about it. That would be a really cool thing.
I really like your that point about not saying yes blindly. You know, as a parent, we're called to parent. And there are these massive pressures in the world, pressures to say yes, pressures to do this, which are real and really hard, and really hard even if it's something you're actively talking about, praying about, trying to be different in. But that's one of the biggest things, is I think that slowing down, talking to people, praying, thinking through, you know, how is this going to affect my involvement in the body, positively? Do I have opportunities to move out with people in the body to reach a group of people for Christ? You know, does my kid have those type of opportunities? It is so hard to not be fast with all this and overwhelmed with, am I making the right decision? But I think it's a great, great point.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, I often think like going out together in sports. I know a lot of us are involved in home groups and, you know, we talk a lot about doing life together. I think going out together and getting on teams together, I think that helps. I think that impacts other people that are around. And I know when we just do things on our own, it's really tough. And I know a lot of people with great intentions that go out really trying to impact people, and they don't have the other resources around them to help them. So it's a good comment.
Thanks, Rob. This was really helpful. One of the things that came to mind for me was thinking through what motivates me to get my kids involved in multiple sports. Mm-hmm. You know, is it to fit into the culture? Is it for them to have a college scholarship someday? You know, professional athletics, you know, whatever it is. But that motivation is really important to consider. You know, so that's it.
Yeah, that's a great comment. I think I struggle with that at times as well. I think we want to see our children be successful. I think taking the long view is the most important. You know, I look at my times playing in college and professionally, and they were fun. I love the relationships that I have, but really the relationships are the things that I remember the most. You know, the moments on the field, there were some incredible times, but they've been erased in a lot of ways from my memory. It's those relationships that are the most important. And I know God's created us to be relational with other people. So I think having that view that if we choose to be involved, that people should come first on the teams that we're on. Even as a parent, I think if we invest into other parents on those teams, I think some incredible things can come out with. And then we can just let our children play and be amused by sport, which is really why sport exists.
I think what I see a lot is it becomes a lot of times about the parents and not about the kids, and we lose sight that it should be about the kids. I've seen, you know, parents get their feelings hurt because their kid was or was not on a certain team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've seen, you know, kids get destroyed from, you know, the stress is so big, there's so much pressure to perform. If they don't go 4 for 4, mm-hmm. they, you know, they're going to hate the ride home and those types of things. So I think a lot of it is our perspective as parents is how are we going to involve our kids and what's that going to look like from, you know, are we just going to provide them opportunities and enjoy the moment and watch them and just support them? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to say, okay, you've got to do this. You have to drive harder. You've got to, you know, and put so much pressure on them that they're going to want to, you know, never play sports again. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, I see a lot of, you know, it's like we've got to do a lot of soul searching there as parents in that regard. I know we joke as a coach a lot of times the best place you could ever coach would be an orphanage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes that kind of is true. So, you know, I think about that a lot with the involvement. And, you know, you like to get in with a group of parents who look at it that same way or aren't so, you know, it being about them and let it be about the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are great, great points, Bruce. And I think it's hard. Number one, it's a decision that we have to make as a parent. It's not going to happen. The trajectory is that we're going to go the way that you talked about, which is we're going to care about it more than our children. So we're going to have to make a decision to care less and look at it differently. And that's where I think other people come into play as well, whether it's our spouse who can kind of be the check person for us or other friends to be able to talk about, hey, listen, you know, I came home from this game and I was a lunatic driving home. I need to talk to you about it. I don't know why I was that way. So those are great points.
And thanks for the effort you put into this teaching. I think it's pretty impactful. What are some of the questions that you've asked, you and Tracy have asked yourself, and that you've helped other people work through when you have a kid who's in formal sports and you're not sure whether their heart is really in it? Where do you figure out, like, is it the child needs more encouragement, or this isn't for them, or kind of like what Bruce and other people have said, this is the parents kind of driving the train, rather than figuring out whether it's something the kid is really interested in, and should you move to another sport, or should you move just to some sort of activity that's not group sport?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we didn't talk about that at all. And you know, my middle child, he's the one that would do anything, and you know, wants to play all the time currently. And my oldest and youngest are they're similar in that, you know, they can make a decision not to. You know, it's never been a hard talk with them about it, but we've always talked about the importance of being around a team, to be around just friends. And, you know, where I live in Worthington, there it's school and community-based, the recreation team. So we've always looked at that as a great opportunity to meet friends and have fun playing. And I think they learned a lot of lessons from, yeah, I'm gonna take a step here and I'm gonna play for this team. I think from the recreational level, I think it's a great opportunity. But I think if you're and I don't want to use pressure, but if you're encouraging your child to play in a select team environment that doesn't really enjoy the game, I think you're setting a lot of people up for failure. Your own child, I think you're setting the team up in some ways for that, because there's a child that may not be real committed to playing. Encouraging, I think, helps our children. You know, there's a lot of children that don't like to do anything outside, and Herschel Walker made the point, like, go outside and play. What do you mean go outside and play? I don't want to go outside and play. I want to, you know, sit on my iPod or the computer right now. And I do believe in those situations, we do need to encourage, and we do need to turn off technology, and we have to be models as a parent. You know, I think you talking about going outside and playing soccer with your son, that's awesome. Those are some of my best memories, you know, like before they were involved in formal sports, just going out and playing wiffle ball and you know, everything, skateboarding, biking, doing all those things with them. So we have to model as parents if we want them to be active.
Hi. I don't think that this point was made, but I've been thinking about how those statistics about kids that just, you know, by a certain age just completely drop off from doing anything, and I think that we start to see that now that our oldest is in high school and her friends that used to do a lot of sports are either crazily into it or they do nothing, and that's like a really sad state to be, especially for a 14-year-old girl. But as parents, I feel like, you know, you and I talk about this, but as parents, what do we want our children to grow up to be when they're adults? They're not going to be professional athletes for the rest of their life. Even if they happen to have gotten there, it's not going to be that. And, you know, you retired at a ripe age of, like, what, 26? Mm-hmm. From playing professional soccer. And there's such a long lifetime of needing to still be physically active for all of those benefits that you talked about in your slides. And what do we want to teach our kids to be when they're adults? You want them to still be active, energized participants in society who have good, you know, lifestyle skills. And I just think it's a huge shame when children just totally drop out of and have been almost disgusted by organized sports and the pressure and the psychological issues that that brings, because the trajectory then for them to continue on in a healthy lifestyle has, it's not going to go that way. And that's really a sad state. So in jumping off of your comment to Cliff, you know, with our daughter, she played soccer, recreational soccer, and she enjoyed it for her friendships, but it wasn't her burning passion. She didn't, I mean, if we said we're not going to sign you up, she would have been like, great. But we tried to teach her the value of, we want you to be physically active. We want you to do something. And if it's not soccer, then what is it? You could try anything that you want, because we want you to be with friends. We want you to learn some skills. We want you to be physically active. Her personality is, she wouldn't just go run outside and play. She would sit in her room and read all day. So, and I think that it worked for her. It was a very positive experience for her to be physically active. But unfortunately, I feel like there's a stigma that gets attached to playing on like a recreation level, that that's not good enough. And I think that the only way that that's going to change is through us as parents, that we allow for all different levels of play that are appropriate for our children to be enough and to be encouraging in those times, so that our kids can learn and have a lot of positive experiences with sports, so they would want to do this when they're 40 mm-hmm. and 50 and 60.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think 11, 12 is where the research says that children stop, and that's sad. You know, that's adolescence, that's middle school, and that's when it's one of the most important times for them to be active. So that's a good point. And having that long view, and you know, it was sobering to me. I was at an event for a friend at Crew Stadium, and you know, I was there were four or five of us back, and one of my friends was having a knee replacement at 38 years old, and the other friend and former teammate was going to have his third operation on his knee. And you know, we think about that, like a surgery is pretty like, oh yeah, I'm having a surgery on something, and but that's like major. You know, like our bodies shouldn't be breaking down in our 30s and early 40s, and they shouldn't be breaking down in our teen years. You know, that they shouldn't be breaking down. So you know, thinking about that, and you know, if my child is quitting because their body just can't handle it anymore, you know, I've made some wrong decisions. And I know as a parent, we monitor that, and you know, we want them to be active for a lifestyle. So if they burn themselves out before they're in college, then we've done a disservice to our children.
Rob, I appreciate this talk too. One thing I was thinking is, I think it's really important to help process with your kids what you personally as a parent go through. Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, we get challenged with wanting to win. Mm-hmm. We get challenged with wanting to be on the best team. We get, you know, and just to help them see how you deal with that, it really gives them, you know, an example of saying, you know, you shouldn't feel bad that you want to win. Of course we want to win, but then mm-hmm. to really be able to, this is where I'm so grateful for having God's word to help us, remind us what is really the most important thing. And I really like that whole idea of friendships and how to be a good friend. And, you know, and so my daughter, my oldest daughter was playing soccer for the high school, and she got on JVB, and a couple of other, her teammates in the same grade, they were like, we don't want to be on JVB, and so they quit. But I'm like, here's an opportunity for you to be a great example. And she was. And it was a good way to see that, okay, even if I didn't get to be on the team that I wanted to get on, how God could still use me and how, you know, they could still learn. But I mean, it was hard for me when you're about other parents. They're like, oh, what team is your daughter on? You're like, JVB. Yeah. But, you know, just to realize that that's not what's most important.
Yeah, that's a great point. I recently had a conversation with a friend of mine that his child, you know, he felt was slighted on a team. And it was slighted. They were doing balanced teams. It was a very young team. His son was only 8 years old. And he felt like when they balanced the teams, his son was on the less balanced of the team. And it was funny because I had just gone to a play that his daughters were in about Joseph. and it was Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. And so we talked to Mike, you know, I bet you Joseph felt kind of slighted, you know, when his brothers sold him into slavery. But look what God did in that situation. And so that is a great point. I agree with you fully that, you know, as a parent, we shouldn't be fighting for the right in that situation. We should be talking to our children how they can be a light in that situation. So thanks for sharing that.
Thanks, Rob. This is really good for me because I am not an athlete. I have never had any athletic experience. But I love your points about, you know, like I totally grew up in a huge family, so family was the team. You know, like I got that experience through having six siblings. And we played. Like we built forts, we went outside, there was football games, we played. I don't really know what I'm saying. But so I married an athlete who highly values it, and it's not that I don't value it, I don't value it because I was never exposed to it. But this is super helpful because I see the value. I can see the value in it. But I guess I'm struggling, I'm not quite struggling yet, but we have a 20-month-old. And we're already getting pressure from other parents, like, well, is she in classes? Is she in swimming? She's not. She's not in gymnastics. Well, what do you do with her? And I'm like, she can't even talk. Like, and it starts so young, and it's just, I'm like, should I put her in gymnastics right now? Like, is that something? Am I like, is she missing out? I don't know. I just am struggling. And I know we're going to get to the place of, I'm sure my husband will want her to try a sport, which is good. I think God is going to work on me that this is good. But like, when do you start? Because I just think 20 months old is kind of really young. What's a good time to start?
I think it's really young too. Our children, I don't think there's a right answer to that. You know, our children did swim lessons when they were, I don't know, preschool, just for safety factor and for Tracy to get out and meet some other parents. I mean, those were the main reasons with that. I personally am against like below kindergarten, you know, team sports. It's just, there's no team, you know, a child that age wants the ball themselves. They don't want to share the ball. So I personally disagree with that. You know, six, I think, is when my daughter Kira started. I think kindergarten was when my two sons like tried soccer for the first time. And it was in the neighborhood. It was two blocks away, so we could walk. So I think a lot about like how I'm going to get them to these spots. Is that going to rule my life? I don't want that to rule my life. But being active with them, you know, you don't have to be involved in anything. And, you know, that play area at High Banks, you know, that's going to, an hour spent there every week is going to do, with friends, is going to do a lot more than an hour, you know, in a gymnastics class, you know, where they might be active for 20 minutes during that time. So I think we just need to take a deep breath and like think rationally. I think we begin to think irrationally. And then, you know, in some of the data I have here, there's some really interesting infographics that talk about income level. So for me, you know, I've always made choices. I can't do over the top. You know, I'm a teacher, and so for me, my involvement is to provide options that isn't over the top. And a lot of the data they have is a $100,000 threshold. And so when they look at kids who are active, you know, with parents over $100,000, it's like 3 years younger than in formal team sports than those that are under $100,000. Am I making sense there? Like money becomes a major factor in involvement in youth sports, and that's sad, you know? It's a big factor now, but if you look at the children that actually make it, you know, depends on sports, but, you know, the best soccer players in the world grew up in probably houses that were well under $100,000, you know, even in our country, the players that make it aren't necessarily the ones that you know, we're in these, you know, mega expensive clubs. You know, they played the game a lot on their own. Probably speaking too much, but deep breath and just being active with your children. And I think school age is a great time because they can meet classmates. That's why we did. They can meet classmates, they can be active, and they can understand being part of a group.